and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 6 of the Bill of Rights.
This is George Flynn of Words of Freedom. KHNC listeners are painfully aware of the forces that have brought our economy to the state it's in. We want financial advice from experts who understand what's really going on. The iMoneyCoach.com team has put all the knowledge they use to coach successful people and businesses into a 10-course training program for only a fraction of the cost. Thousands of dollars of training materials and videos for under $200. At iMoneyCoach.com, you'll get the knowledge you need to change your life for the better. iMoneyCoach.com.
Take a drive down a back road somewhere, and what do you see? Farms. It's impossible to miss them. They're everywhere. Eastridge Transportation LLC in Gill reminds us that those miles of golden pastures are what brought America to its feet. The American farmer and rancher, a dependable resource. This message was brought to you by Eastridge Transportation LLC. They want you to know that they're involved in keeping our area a great place to be. Eastridge Transportation LLC, located in Gill, 330-6624.
I'm 72 years old, and I'm enjoying the good life. Thanks to the people at Good Life International, along with good exercise, a healthy diet, and Good Life liquid supplements, I feel great and breeze through the day. You can experience the good life, too, by taking Mega Cardio Plus. To find out more, go to www.attackdisease.4tgl.com or call 720-494-GOOD. That's 720-494-4663.
Well, good morning. I'm Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and it's Friday. That means Joel Skousen is going to be with us, and he's not going to be here next week because he's going to be going to Los Angeles to talk at a UROC conference. And it was amazing as I looked at the list of speakers why they were all the people who you listen to regularly here at and those of you who listen to my Radio Liberty programs, Joel Skousen is going to be there, William Griggs is going to be there, I'm going to be there, and one other, Sheriff Mack. So it should be a great time. I'm looking forward after we can have dinner together the night before. Anyway, Joel, what are we going to be covering this morning in the World Affairs Brief?
Well, I, too, am looking forward to seeing you again, Dr. Stan. We've had some great chats together whenever we get together.
Right.
So we're going to begin by talking about Obama's emergency declaration. I believe that even though the technical issue behind the dramatic and false declaration of a national emergency is to facilitate Medicare payments to doctors and hospitals, I mean, that's no big deal, and that doesn't require an emergency. But what I think did was the fact that there's a falling demand for this vaccine, and nothing like a fear-mongering, sky-is-falling declaration to get people to go rush out and think they need this very dangerous vaccine. You know, you can't get through a single session of the morning or evening news without being pummeled with more propaganda on the virtues of getting these shots. They're even peddling claims, of course, of a vaccine shortage to make people clamor for it. You know, if people are this gullible, heaven help us in a real crisis, Dr. Stan.
I know, and the thing is that what is so dangerous about this is they know that thimerosal, the ethyl mercury in the vaccine, will damage children, and yet they're advocating this, not one shot, but two shots of ethyl mercury poison, and it is a poison, and they know it's a poison, starting at 6 months of age, and two more shots of the seasonal flu vaccine, so these children get 100 micrograms. We're talking about a six-month-old child, 100 micrograms of mercury within 21 days, four shots, within 21 days, and they know it's going to damage the mind of these children, to damage their developing brains, and they furthermore know that it doesn't do a bit of good because you can't mobilize the immune system until about 2 years of age, and they are intentionally and maliciously and viciously damaging the children of this country, and they've done so much damage already, and these people should be tried and convicted and sent to prison, or even worse. But go ahead.
Well, I completely agree. I think this is absolutely criminal. And it's amazing, though, how within an establishment society like the medical system, doctors can sense, just by little comments they get here and there, that you don't challenge the establishment medical protocols. You know, there are threats they can implement against them. There are, you know, boards that can pull their certification so that they can't practice. And they know it's been done. It sends a not-so-subliminal message to the other doctors to, you know, not get on the other side of the establishment powers. But, you know, this there's other criminal aspects of this, including virtually the overstating of the case of people who have died from the swine flu. You know, even with the figures that Obama quoted of 100 children have died from the flu in 46 states, I mean, that means there 46 states have widespread flu activity. That means, for an epidemic, that there are four states that don't have even wide flu epidemic. And worldwide, he claims that 5,000 people have reportedly died. I challenge this figure. Even if it's true, though, hardly an epidemic when these figures don't even approach the usual death rate of the ordinary flu, even in this country. Now, you know, I really don't think that people actually, 36,000 CDC said, die from the flu in this country. I think they're counting pneumonia, they're counting upper respiratory infections like pneumonia and severe cold things. They're also counting in that, you know, people who have reactions. I had a friend who was undergoing chemotherapy, was just getting off of it, and successfully battling his cancer. And as you know, chemotherapy really cuts down and destroys the immune system. His doctor told him to get a flu shot. He did, and he was dead in 2 days from a flu shot reaction. And, of course, that goes on the records as dying from the flu. But
let me just clarify, there's 100 children dying. First of all, two-thirds of the children, even the CDC will admit, have other serious illnesses. So you're talking 33 children in this country with 33 million children dying of the flu. You're talking about, you know, 1 in 1 million children have died from the flu so far. The statistics show you have about one shot in about 225,000 getting hit by lightning sometime during your life. I mean, you've got less chance of getting the flu, or a child has less chance of getting a flu since the inception of this epidemic than hit by a bolt of lightning. Obviously, they're trying to frighten us to death, scare us, panic us, and it's all a psychological game they're playing with the minds of the people. And for the first time, I'm encouraged, Joel, because polls show that at least 62% of the people say we're not going to get the shot. And the other side is frantic. Why, we can't control the people like we usually do. The stupid people don't believe us anymore. And that's, I think, why they're moving so rapidly to consolidate their control. They're realizing the people are beginning to wake up. And all I can say is, hallelujah.
Well, and it, you know, I can't help but thank CBS News, who I'm normally not a fan of, any of the major networks, but they did do a state-by-state polling of actual testing and confirmation. Of course, the CDC has admitted that they have told the states, don't test anymore. This is an epidemic. You're just wasting resources by testing. The reason they don't want testing is because they don't want people to know that this is a falsely created panic. And that, in fact, the data does not show that the swine flu is really a problem.
Absolutely.
Here's the actual data from the CBS charts and graphs. They say that most states show 1 to 2% swine flu, 5 to 10% regular flu. Now, these are people who have swine flu or flu-like symptoms. When you actually test for that, 1 to 2% swine flu, 5 to 10% regular flu, and 85 to 90% cold and upper respiratory infection, not the flu.
We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cederstrom. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group.
In that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cederstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way, the only way they know how.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest, but proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
Well, I stand back here. Our guest, of course, is Joel Skousen. Joel, go right ahead.
Well, next we have the exacerbating report from CNSnews.com, who happened to get House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in an interview, and last Thursday asked, where was the constitutional authorization for Congress to order Americans to buy health insurance, a mandate included in both House and Senate versions of the CARE? Pelosi simply, in a very irritated manner, could only scream at them, are you serious? Are you serious? In other words, how dare you ask me what's the constitutional authority? She wouldn't answer the question. Pelosi's press secretary later responded to written-up follow-up questions by emailing CNSnews.com a press release on the constitutionality of health insurance reform, arguing that Congress derives the authority to mandate that people purchase health insurance from its constitutional power to regulate interstate commerce. Now, this is bogus on its face. Dr. Stan, can you imagine saying we have the right to mandate that you do something and regulate, because there's no commerce if you're not engaging in it? How can you regulate interstate commerce and force people into interstate commerce? I mean, that's two different aspects. I can see it if you were, they could interpret it, if you were engaging in selling insurance across state borders, they might claim they had the right to regulate. But in fact, this is just, I mean, it's like they can throw the Constitution up and say anything to people and nobody challenges it.
Well, I think more and more people are beginning to challenge it, and more people are learning about the Constitution through organizations like the Institute of the Constitution, and more people are realizing that people like Nancy Pelosi, who swore to uphold the Constitution, hate it because she really wants to control people. And this woman gives hypocrisy a bad name. I mean, we should keep talking about that special plane that she has. It costs almost $70,000 each way as she flies back and forth across America at our expense in a private jumbo, or I shouldn't say jumbo jet, but a private jet just for her because she's so important. She couldn't take a little tiny jet. She has to have a major great big jet to transport her because she is Nancy Pelosi, and I would think everybody would be incensed. Cost, well, almost $500,000 every month just for her transportation because she is so important.
Well, of course, you know, this was done, started during the Bush administration, where because of 9/11, they started using Air Force airplanes to fly the Speaker of the House, who's in the line of chain of what do they call that? The replacement authority within the Constitution. Secession. That's right. Yeah, chain of secession. And so it started out with Dennis Hastert, of course, also thumbs his nose at the Constitution. But it was a Gulfstream 3. I mean, seats 12 people, and that's enough for these people. The Gulfstream 3 is a luxury jet, just not a tiny one. This is a wonderful business jet with all the perks in it. And, of course, with headwinds in the wintertime, up to 100 miles an hour, it can't make it all the way to California. It could always make it to, you know, Hastert's hometown in Illinois. But because it has to stop and refuel, which takes an extra half an hour, 45 minutes, Nancy Pelosi demanded to have a full-range jet, which means a 757 Air Force jet, which they do have and make available to her, and she has made some demanding things. She doesn't get it all the time, but in fact, it's available for her because of the demands. And, of course, you know, when Snopes.com decided to debunk this, they go and quote the fact that it wasn't Nancy Pelosi who was demanding the jet, or if it was the Sergeant of Arms of the House. Well, he's just a lackey who gets a call from Pelosi's office and does her bidding. I mean, it's not as if this is something that her staff did not represent. But that's typical of the debunking of Snopes.com, which debunks everything right-wing and you know, and tries to defend the left-wing point of view. But, you know, once again, going back to the justification of the Interstate Commerce Clause, conservatives must learn that the general language of the Constitution simply isn't precise enough to avoid liberal interpretations like this that abuse the intent of the founders. Now, we can cry as conservatives all we want about that's not the intent of the founders. But as the Anti-Federalist argued, nothing will do about chaining a government down to the Constitution except outright and clear prohibitions that bind both federal, state, and local levels to the constitutional principles of limited government and the specified defense of fundamental rights, which the founders also failed to define. They couldn't. They did the very best they can, and I do believe that they were inspired by God, at least the minority founders that ended up prevailing in the Constitution. But clearly, you know, we need to do our homework to tighten things up if we're going to survive in a post-crisis world. That was my message at the Constitution Party, by the way, that, you know, our probably only chance of winning back is in a partial area of freedom within the United States after a major crisis, which I believe will be war in the future, and that we need to be prepared to lead. We need to prepare to have restated the Constitution in tight legal language with all of the anti-federalist principles of prohibitions against specific government actions. We have enough experience after 230 years now to be able to do that, and I think it needs to be done. But in any case, you know, one promoter of health reform, Ezra Klein of the Washington Post, was on this week's Jim Lehrer NewsHour, and he finally admitted that the real purpose of the mandatory participation was to get healthy people to help foot the bill for those denied access for pre-existing conditions that the law will force insurance companies to accept. In other words, if you force all of these people who the insurance companies won't accept right now into the system, you're going to bankrupt the insurance company. And so in order to provide inject more money in the system, they're going to make healthy people like myself who don't use the establishment medical protocol system on drugs. They're going to force us into the system. Hell, forcing us to pay $5,000 to $8,000 a year in health insurance premiums we don't now use, and that won't, in fact, except in a case of surgery, which I'm prepared with my own funds to pay. But they're just going to make me pay through the nose to help boost the income to the entire system. Now that's a huge tax increase, and the big talk within the caucuses and what's really causing problems that the news is not covering is Democrats are afraid that when, you know, these thousands or millions of people who are forced, like myself, to pay five to, if you could even find that in your budget, I mean, how many people who are making $50,000 a year have an extra $5,000 to $8,000 to pay this tax? When they wake up one morning and find out what they're going to be required to pay, not only is there going to be a backlash, this is going to, this kind of extortion will take a huge chunk out of the normal spending of people. I mean, you talk about the gas tax, taking an extra $1,000 to $2,000 out of people's pocketbook to pay for gas, and that directly, we know how that impacted the economy. It shrunk the rest of the economy because it took from normal disposable income and put it into gasoline. Now you're going to take $5,000 to $8,000 out of 45 million people and take it out of the economy, their normal spending, and force them at great hardship to put it into health insurance that they do not use, and voila, you're going to have more economic problems. Of course, they use any of those things to justify more government intervention in the economy. They never accept the fact that it is this kind of regulation and taxation that is the cause of the decline in the economy.
Well, it is amazing, you know, because they want these policies that will cover everything so that people can go to the doctor. I will tell you that the only way people will act responsibly is if they have to pay for a significant part of the cost of going to the doctor. Yes, you do need insurance for surgery. I personally believe that everybody should carry at least a catastrophic health insurance because, believe me, it is a catastrophe if you have to pay your hospital bill. Catastrophic insurance is a great thing, but when they start giving first dollar coverage or even 80% coverage for going to the doctor, people will abuse the system, and people, when forced into the system, will start to use it and more and more when it isn't necessary. As long as, well, I've already paid for it, I might as well go ahead and use it. And we're heading to even into more problems because so much of what is prescribed in the way of medication is frankly dangerous for your health. Why? Because the FDA is authorizing the use of drugs that never should be used and keeping off the market the remedies and health remedies and alternative remedies which would help and would cure cancer and prevent disease. We have a corrupt medical system, and it is corrupt not because the doctors are corrupt, but because they are not getting the truth, and the FDA and the CDC and NIH and the EPA are hazardous to our health.
Well, the only thing I would dispute there, Dr. Stan, is there are a certain percentage of doctors that are corrupt and that are in bed with the drug companies, especially the high-powered ones that certify these drugs, that take part in the studies. They're bought off by the drug companies. There's a couple of books on the market that I covered in last week's World Affairs Brief that are very important to understanding the collusion between doctors that are in high positions at hospitals and who write articles in journals. They're all paid off by the drug companies. And sometimes it's huge speaking fees. We know several doctors that were involved in the certification of drugs that one doctor had over $1.6 million given to him in speaking fees. I mean, this is incredible. That must mean that they're paying.
I've been there. I know how it works.
So that is corruption of doctors in some degree, Dr. Stan. And I realize that the majority of doctors aren't. But they're also guilty of going along with establishment protocols and not fighting the system. There are, you know, a few actual MDs, and I have a few friends, you know, and most of them are retired now, but they can tell you very strongly that when you start to get behind alternative medicine and things, you get threatened by the system, and they threaten to take away your license to practice.
Sure.
So there is a ruthless system in there. They control medical schools, of course, and that's why, you know, doctors, you know, can charge so much is that they restrict the supply of doctors. And, you know, at the amount that they're making, we could double the number of doctors and there'd be plenty of room for people to make a decent income. But the medical schools will ensure that that doesn't happen. Well, moving on, I also cover how Tim Geithner secretly bailed out Wall Street. Actually, I've covered that before in the World Affairs Brief. But now it's got out into the mainstream media. Bloomberg came out and talked about how they ended up. The AIG story is really the kingpin to understanding how they bailed out Wall Street, is that AIG was in the process of having to negotiate a lower settlement with all of the people to whom they owed credit default swap the counterparties to these derivatives, credit default swaps, which number, you know, in the trillions of dollars, and they were trying to negotiate with Goldman Sachs and other people to accept buyouts, discounts of much of 40 cents on the dollar. And the Fed stepped in with Timothy Geithner and the New York Fed, who's in charge of the Wall Street area, and essentially came in and instructed AIG, we're going to bail you out in AIGs, to give 100 cents on the dollar to all of these creditors. Not all of the creditors, actually. They were wrong in that. In fact, it was only to the big banks, and that's one of the reasons why they keep everything secret, is because, in fact, many of the city and county pension funds that had invested in these subprime mortgages and bought guarantees from AIG that they would, in credit default swaps and other hedging instruments, that they would be guaranteed from losing any money, they took a bath on this, and they were not bailed out. And AIG did not pay them off. Of course, with this hard-hitting...
AIG was used as a conduit to funnel taxpayer money to Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan, and the others. And instead of asking them, well, look, I mean, if we let this thing go down, you're not going to get a penny. At least you could take 50 cents on the dollar instead of demanding the whole thing. And they refused to ask them. They said, oh, no, you know, we're going to take this. Why, we can't let AIG go down. If it went down, well, how would Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase get their $12.5 billion? Well, we'll just send them the taxpayers' money. After all, we've got to maintain the system. Right back.
I'm 72 years old, and I'm enjoying the good life. Thanks to the people of Good Life International, along with good exercise, a healthy diet, and Good Life liquid supplements, I feel great and breeze through the day. You can experience the good life, too, by taking Mega Cardio Plus. To find out more, go to www.attackdisease.4tgl.com or call 720-494-GOOD. That's 720-494-4663.
How well do you know the law? The situation calls for citizen's arrest, but proving your case seems to require a lawyer. What kind of proof do you need in court? The answer will surprise you. Back in a minute.
Discover America's truth. Citizen power creates freedom. Send for Hal von Lupert's Citizen Power series, Citizen Arrest, The Grand Jury, and Guerrilla Law, $27. Greeley, Colorado, P.O. Box 837. Citizen power.
If you make a citizen's arrest, how is the suspect convicted? In the United States, courtroom proof is not materially different from common sense proof. Evidence may be a photograph, a tape recording, a witness who saw or heard what happened. Even remarks made during commission of the crime, although hearsay, are admissible in court. Proof, however, is the prosecutor's chore. To make citizen's arrest only requires probable cause.
Staff and families of Brown's Appliance and Service Center takes this time out to recognize and salute the Brighton men and women in uniform, standing tall for our political and economic freedom around the world. Let's always remember them in our thoughts and prayers. Their efforts abroad and our support has kept America strong. That's from your friends at Brown's Appliance and Service Center, where Alan Swain and his family and staff are always working to make our area a safer place to live. That's Brown's Appliance Service Center at 204 South Main Street in Brighton. Call 659-0410. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. Got a home project in mind but no idea what kind of tools and equipment you'll need? No worry. Grand Rental Station has knowledgeable, friendly consultants to walk you through the process. The Grand Rental staff of experts will guide you through selecting the right equipment, teaching you how to use it safely and correctly, and suggestions on how to achieve professional results. Give the staff of professionals a call today in Loveland, 970-669-3866. That's 970-669-3866. Rent the equipment. Keep the advice. Grand Rental Station. Don't forget to tell them the KHNC sent you, and you appreciate the support of this station. 970-669-3866.
Now, stand back here at the American Network and our guest, Joel Skousen. So, Joel, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can subscribe to the World Affairs Brief.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. There is a modest subscription price for the World Affairs Brief. It's only $48 a year. People can subscribe by going to my website and clicking on the subscribe button. The website is www.worldaffairsbrief.com, and people will probably like to get a sample issue before they subscribe, and they can do so by simply emailing me at editor@worldaffairsbrief.com, and I'll be happy to send out the current issue to them. And if they forget how to do that, they can go to the website, tells them how to do that, right at the end of the summary of the current World Affairs Brief. And, of course, as you know and your staff, my researchers post every day all of the top news stories right on the brief. So you could get, the sorting and the filtering that we do of giving you the best of the conventional news stories on World Affairs Brief each day and save you a lot of searching for the best stories as they go out. Well, going back to our subject here, we're talking about the Federal Reserve, of course, bailing out the other big banks through AIG by bailing out their credit default swaps at 100 cents on the dollar. And, of course, after Bloomberg came out and exposed this, Washington Post comes to the rescue and quotes the Federal Reserve as saying that they had no choice but to instruct AIG to reimburse the full amount of what it owed banks on the derivatives contracts. The officials at the Fed said AIG lost its leverage in demanding a better deal once the company had been saved from bankruptcy. once again, this is circular reasoning, and, it's a question of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. And it's quite untrue. They only lost their leverage because of federal intervention, which stopped their negotiations. So the Feds weren't forced to do anything. When they intervene, in fact, they didn't even lose their leverage. The Fed itself could have demanded that the big banks, as a condition of being bailed out of AJD, take 40 cents on the dollar. But, it's amazing how this establishment newspapers print the official reason and they don't counter it. I mean, if they were covering arguments against Obama's eligibility, the first thing they would do after stating the case is present, most of the argument would be counters to these things, but they don't do it when they're shilling for the government. And that's what they are, shills for the government.
Well, shills for the invisible government here. I mean, we find Mr. Geithner, formerly head of the First Federal Reserve Bank of New York City, and then now the Secretary of the Treasury, but he's a member of the Trilateral Commission, as are the people who control both Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase, and there's only about 87 of them, but they look after one another very, very well. Go right ahead.
Well, it's no wonder that there's a backlash building in Congress against the Obama administration's new regulatory plan, supposedly to regulate derivatives. But, under the cover of regulation, what this really is are more language that guarantees that the future bailouts will be made permanent. The Fed chairman has already admitted that he interprets the current statute to allow for permanent bailouts, but now they're going to make sure that it gets inculcated into law. Reuters says that both Democrats and Republicans broadly criticized the strategy at a public hearing chaired by Barney Frank, who, of course, is in bed with the Fed on this. The bill we're considering today would merely institutionalize too big to fail, said Republican Representative Jeb Hensarling, referring to a perception, of course, that financial giants would count on future government bailouts. And Democratic Representative Brad Sherman said the Obama plan would simply provide permanent, unlimited bailout authority, and indeed it would. So the question is, is the bailout really working? Are the stimulus plans working? Well, yes and no. Yes in a temporary, artificial way, but no in the long run. Direct injections of cash to buyers, as was done in Cash for Clunkers program, worked, but only until the money ran out. As soon as it ran out, the car sales went to the basement again. It worked only in an inflationary way last year in terms of direct consumer injection when the government doled out $180 billion in tax rebates. House prices declined. Declines have leveled off with the government's $8,000 incentive program. But now even new home sales have dropped again, proving that the temporary stimulus would work only as long as they had potential new first-time buyers, because the program was restricted to new first-time buyers who could afford a loan. And once that group was exhausted, housing prices started down again. It's just like what led to the subprime mortgage. Once they'd exhausted the pool of people who had enough credit rating to buy normal mortgages, they started changing the rules to allow a larger pool to come in of people who weren't eligible and didn't have down payments and would buy all of these very dangerous mortgages that with adjustable rates of interest that would rise when interest rates rose, as has happened. And Congress, sure enough, always looking for ways to buy more boats, is looking to broaden the program for everyone to keep the stimulus going.
And
it would be a greater boon to the economy to let housing prices fall further, making them more affordable in the long term, but they're unwilling to do that.
I think that what people have to understand is people have to buy a house, they should be able to put down 20% or at least 10% so they have something, invested in that home. So there's a cushion there if the prices fall further. But they're letting these people buy, with 1% or 2% down. And as the price of that home falls, why, pretty soon they'll be underwater, they lose their job. Why, of course, they're going to walk away, and we're laying ourselves open for the next round of massive housing defaults here in the United States. And the unconscionable thing is the people behind this know exactly what they're doing, because they know that housing prices are going to fall as we come out of the eye of the hurricane into the next storm, financial storm that's lying ahead, and they're doing everything they can to set up more people for disaster and more bailouts for the taxpayer, and pretty soon the taxpayers aren't going to have any money left. Go right ahead.
Yes, economists like Rubini are saying we're going to have a W-shaped recession. That is, you come up and you have a slight improvement with government stimulus, and then it goes right back down again. That's the second half of the W that we're headed for this in 2010. But people need to understand that the stimulus money is actually concentrating its effects on the speculative markets, because that's where the money went. It went to the big banks. And they're fired up by the carry trade in dollars. Now, a carry trade is very important to understand. It's created when one government offers at below market interest rates an unlimited capacity of people to come in and borrow their currency from the government directly at low interest rates, just as Japan did during the decades-long recession. It was a yen carry trade. The money is borrowed and invested elsewhere. That's why it's called carried. It's carried out of the country into another country. And the investor pockets the interest rate difference. Now it's the dollar dominating the carry trade instead of the yen. And people can borrow at almost zero interest rate and invest those dollars in other nations' markets.
Hold that. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Joel Skaus of the American Business Network.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning reminds drivers, when you see a school bus stop, there are probably children on foot nearby. Many may not have much experience crossing streets and watching for cars, so never pass. Not only is it the right and safe thing to do, it's the law. That was presented by A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning, the heating expert who can tell you if your last year's fuel bill was grossly out of line, and if it was, what repairs or replacements would offer you the greatest long-term savings. Call 303-659-1087. A&H Valley Heating and Air Conditioning at 165 East Long Peak Street in Brighton.
We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Dan, Joel was just talking about the carry trade. I just comment that certainly what we're seeing today is the most incredible transfer of wealth from the American people to the large banks. Now, I believe in a free enterprise system, but we don't have a free enterprise system. You're a large bank. You can go to the Fed and borrow money at 0% interest, at the most a quarter of a percent, but 0% interest. You can take that money and go to the Treasury and buy T-bills that pay an interest rate of 3.5%. So you're doing this with $100 million, and you are going to get, you know, a $3.5 million profit from the, and the interest is going to be paid by the taxpayers on money you bought, you borrowed for at 0% interest. Now, why doesn't the Treasury just buy its own bonds and save the interest rates? Because we're transferring money to the large banks. People have to understand, the greatest transfer of wealth that has ever taken place in all history, in my estimation, is taking place today as the American taxpayer are funneling money into the pockets of the bulging pockets of the elite group that tie into what I call the Brotherhood of Darkness. But go right ahead, Joel.
Well, people need to understand that they can't just do this. I mean, you can't go get an account to borrow money directly from the Fed at 0% interest. Only the big banks can do that. This is a closed system. This is an insider trading system, the carry trade. And so that's how the biggest U.S. banks in a declining economy showed such massive profits this very year after the government bailouts, is because they were allowed to go into the carry trade and make this automatic money, even though nobody else is making this kind of money in the economy. Countries like Brazil are trying to take advantage of this new speculative influx of dollars in the carry trade. The government just slapped a tax on foreign investors of 2% on all foreign purchases of Brazilian fixed income security stocks, effective immediately, because they see, you know, it's inflationary in their country, have all this money inflowing. They want the money inflowing, but they're going to take their portion out of it too. Well, switching to foreign policy now, Afghan corruption, the big story in the New York Times this past week was Karzai's brothers on the take of the CIA. And of course, I reported on that weeks ago, but, of course, when the New York Times makes the accusation, it tends to have a little more traction. Of course, Ahmed Wali Karzai, the brother of Hamid Karzai, is claiming innocence. He's not getting payments from the CIA. But it is true in my, from my sources. Spencer Ackerman comments on this article, and he says the tale of the CIA's payments to Ahmed Karzai seem less like a story of corruption than it does about the story of the insurgency. In fact, it's both. Gretchen Peters, who just authored a recent book about the drug trade in Afghanistan, had much to say about this, and she said there's no question that Karzai has been the recipient of CIA payments. She said she has been shown the intelligence reports indicating he's working with a major drug trafficker connected to the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. And, of course, all of these incestuous relationships in the Middle East are involved in CIA black operations. And that's really the bigger story, is that, you know, this drug money is used for two major purposes. First of all, it's made to buy off political votes to keep Hamid Karzai in office. And that's the way that the CIA started feeding money to Karzai to make sure he could win elections, was through his brother, direct CIA payoffs. Yet people have to understand, they do this in order not to get caught making direct payments to President Karzai. That would be illegal, and that would be viewed directly as paying off the voting process and buying elections in Afghanistan. So they do it through his brother. And, of course, the brother and the Karzai family has long been involved in the drug trade even before the CIA got involved. But they prefer, now that the CIA controls the drug trade, on behalf of the U.S. government, which invaded Afghanistan, they prefer to allow a lot of the money just to be generated in the drug trade and then siphoned off to, as payoffs to people to control the government and to control the drug rates without the CIA having to do it directly. This avoids the very problem that happened with the New York Times spilling the beans about direct CIA payments. Now, they were making direct CIA payments. They would prefer that Ahmed Karzai get all of his payments through drug, but he wants both. And they really, once they start paying someone, it's pretty hard to cut them off and still consider or keep them in your camp. I mean, this is symptomatic of the total corruption that is involved here. But it goes deeper than the drug trade. It goes deeper than political influence. It also goes into the creation and the maintenance and the paying off of these irregular militias. In other words, once again, to avoid direct connection with our own government's use of terrorism to keep destabilizing Pakistan and destabilizing Afghanistan to justify continued intervention, they have to develop their own terrorists. They have to develop their own people who create incidents. And this is what happens when in these secret CIA bases you have actual irregular militias being trained there by the CIA, being paid off by the CIA, and there's always chance of discovery. That's why the press are not allowed into these secret bases. But it does leak out. For example, this last month, one of these militias that's based at a secret CIA base went and killed several Afghanistan policemen in a hit job where they were going after somebody who was, betraying Karzai and his regime, and they sent this Afghan hit team in there to get rid of them. They killed five policemen in the process, and people started investigating, well, where are these people come from who were guilty of killing our own policemen? And sure enough, they're housed at the CIA base. And so people start to understand, well, who are these people really working for? These are the kind of messy things that get out under these black operations. So Afghanistan is a mess, just like Iraq, and it's about to get worse. President Barack Obama is, taking his time to make a decision so that he can claim that this has been agonizing, and he's eventually going to say, yes, we are going to have a boost in troop levels, but it's not going to lead to anything but further problems.
We're out of time. Bye-bye. Talk to you next week, Joel.
Thank you, Dr.
Your family deserves wholesome organic food, and you shouldn't have to drive across town or spend all of your hard-earned cash to get it. Door to Door Organics brings you fresh organic fruits, vegetables, and groceries delivered straight to your door at a price you can afford. It's simple, convenient, affordable, and healthy. For delivery throughout Colorado, Michigan, the East Coast, and Kansas City, go to DoorToDoorOrganics.com. For $5 off your first order, use the coupon code 1360. That's DoorToDoorOrganics.com. Eat better, shop less.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org.
Whether you're in automotive, sporting goods, hardware, health, wellness, electrical, electronics, construction, carpet cleaning, legal, or animal care, and offer exceptional customer service and provide quality services or goods, you're honest, reliable, and professional. If you have a business, we have the customers. Let us put you in touch with our loyal, supportive, and dedicated listeners today. They're waiting to hear from you. It's inexpensive. It's effective. Call KHNC at 1-800-205-6245.
Allstate Sweeping reminds parents in our listening area that over the summer, children who are out of school shouldn't be out of luck, hope, or guidance. For many troubled youth, the first step towards drugs and crime is having nothing better to do. Take your kids to the beach, park, or family center. It's the best weapon against delinquency, crime, and drug abuse. This message is from Allstate Sweeping. They're a concerned area business working toward drug-free communities for our youngsters. That's Allstate Sweeping, located at 10150 East 106th Avenue in Brighton.
Well, I'm here at the American Freedom Network, and our guest this morning, Joel Skousen. I hope you enjoyed his commentary. I know I always do and learn a great deal. Well, this is the time I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and that's how we're able to maintain 60 outlets across America every week of one sort or another, and we are reaching people, and along with the other talk show hosts, I think we're having an effect. If you'd like to be part of our team, an independent organization answerable to no one other than to God, why give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that some of you out there, if you're in a position, will want to buy a case of my books at the special pre-publication price of $149.95 plus shipping. For a full case of books, which means you'll get 60 books at $250 each, and you can sell them at $12.95, you can give them away. But the book will change the lives of some of the people who read it, because it explains the fact that there really is a supernatural element out there that is energizing all of these wicked organizations intent upon destroying our nation, impoverishing our people, and bringing about a one-world government. So if you're interested, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. If you have a flea market or someplace, you can go there, set up a table and sell them, give people a good talk anyway about what's going on. It's a wonderful thing to talk about and to allude to the fact there's a mystery, and you're going to tell them what that mystery is and set, you know, against the backdrop of Agatha Christie's story of the murder on the Orient Express, the book is well worth while reading. If you haven't read it, give us a call, or you can watch the story on our website at RadioLiberty.com under the videos, The Brotherhood of Darkness. You need, of course, to get our other talks on the final, on the forbidden secret, on the financial Armageddon, on the planned police state, on the population control reduction, on certainly on the world revolution. They're all talks available on DVD that'll cover one or another aspect of what's going on today. And then, of course, we carry the Secret Mystery series of DVDs. They're very professionally done. And, of course, they'll give you the background of the secret societies that control America, that created America, that control America. And every time a new one comes out by the History Channel and the Discovery Channel and the establishment media go wild trying to discredit it, and Dan Brown's latest book is to tell you how great the Masons are, they're out protecting us. And although he does allude to the invisible force that we talk about, oh, only, of course, it's a good force. You can accomplish great things by tapping into it. And we tell you, don't tap into it at all. Avoid it like the plague. But Dan Brown opens his new book, The Lost Symbol, with a quotation. To be in the world and not understand the world is like to being in a great library and not being able to touch the books. and he attributes it to a book, The Secret Teaching.